Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily Morse, and on today's show, I'm talking about couples therapy and why I truly believe everyone can benefit from it. Plus, I'm answering your questions on sex, dating, and relationships. Topics include, all right, therapy gets a bad rap, but only because we go when things get bad. So why not start sooner, like when things are actually going well? The different types of couples therapy and why we should change our perspectives to look at it as like a personal trainer for your relationship. So you've established a casual relationship with a partner, but does that mean there can be no intimacy during sex? Plus, callers chime in on the subject of premature escalation while dating and if there can be too much too soon. All this and more. Thanks for listening. All right, let's be real here. You know you should get tested for STIs, but you probably have a bunch of reasons why you don't want to. Maybe you want to keep things private from your regular doctor, or maybe you don't want to wait for a home test kit to ship to you, or maybe you really can't have any of this information showing up in your mailbox. While all those reasons might seem just as scary as the STI itself, they're really not an excuse. Your health and your partner's health is more important. This is what my brilliant friend Shannon realized when she created same-day STD testing. Here's how it works. Using same-day STD testing's website or phone hotline, they will set you up with a same-day appointment at a testing facility in your area. Everything is handled privately. No insurance paperwork, no medical records, nothing mailed to your address. You go for your test, and as soon as the results are in, you can log in to see them on the secure website or speak to one of the same-day STD testing's medical advisors. If there's an issue, they can help you get treated privately as well. No shame, no blame, no judgment. Trust me, I know you've got your reasons for wanting to keep things private. Your sex life is your business, but your health is a priority. You can literally take control today. To schedule your same-day STD test, go to sexwithemily.com/same-day. That's my site, sexwithemily.com/SAMEDAY.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's
got
to have her standards. Oh, my.
The women know about shrinkage.
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, it feels so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, you got to check out sexwithemily.com to help you with all of your sex, relationship, and dating needs. We got a bunch there on the site. You can also find us wherever you listen to podcasts. Plus, I am on SiriusXM Radio Stars, Channel 109, Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific, and you can get a free 30-day trial at sexwithemily.com/SXM or just call in any night. I'll answer your question. 888-947-8277. Find me on all social media across the board. It's at Sex with Emily. All right, guys, enjoy the show. I often say to you guys, I throw it out there and I'm like, I think every couple needs a little bit of therapy. And then there's always usually one person in the relationship, or God forbid both. Oh, we don't need it. Therapy's wrong. It's just for crazy people, or whatever people think. But think of a therapist like a personal trainer for your relationship. You know, when you want to get in better shape, you're like, oh, I should just go to a trainer or a nutritionist. I know I've been eating healthy.
And it makes it so much easier.
So much easier to understand, right? Right, exactly. If you go to a trainer, though, you're like, oh, I learn. Now I'm learning how to get into the right routine. You guys get married, we have no one's teaching you how to communicate, how to be a good lover, how to talk about problems. And in fact, if you're not a great communicator, and by the way, most of us, it's not like a born skill, you have to have parents who taught you how to communicate, you have to have good therapy. Why you should go, and here's some things, you guys, go before a crisis. So don't wait for the worst thing to happen. So I think that really, like, couples who really are into, like, their love and their relationship and wanting to preserve it, that's, like, a smart thing. It's very proactive. But that's the opposite of what usually happens. Most couples wait about 6 years before they seek help from a therapist.
6 years.
6 years. And that's why couples therapy has a lot of low satisfaction rates. It's true. Like, couples therapy, typically people go when it's really bad. They've already passed that point of no return. And so I think that both couples, by the time you get to that point, they're like, this has been going on for years, they've already like exited the relationship in their heads. The reason why I love therapy, and I don't think it's ever too soon to go to therapy. People are like, when should we go? Is, you know, I remember someone said to me, we've only been together 9 months, but he wants to go. And I said, yeah, go right now, because what therapy does, it helps you figure out like, are we meant to be together? Are we not? And maybe we are, but we just don't know how to communicate about this a few things. And it's actually like you go to therapy to learn skills, not to find out what's wrong with you. So couples therapy works before you're not in a crisis. So how you know if you should go, though, is like if you guys are facing the same issues over and over again, right? Like let's say, you know, you've been together a while and you're like, okay, my partner never helps around the house. And I keep saying like, I'm doing everything and you never do everything. And now you get frustrated because they come home and now they're making a mess around the house and it's really a problem. And it's been going on for a year, two or three. And you've said things and they haven't made any changes. Mm. That's when you go, you're like, I keep telling him over and over again to pick up his shoes. I tell her to hang up her coat. She doesn't do it. Go to therapy and find out why this is making you insane. Furthermore, maybe you've told your partner to initiate sex more and they never initiate sex. And you want to know why, or you feel like they're, you know, what are the issues? People like money issues, or you like going out on the weekends and your partner only wants to stay home. And this has been going on now for a while. Or the money issues, you guys, money, sex, and kids. You're not raising kids the same way. You're not having sex. You can figure out how to communicate, how to get out of a rut, how to work through it because you haven't gotten to the point of resentment yet. It's just like, huh. And it's funny, in relationships, we often have the same problems over and over again and we break up. Or we get married and we still have those issues, right? Mm-hmm. Or something in between. But if you didn't, like, it doesn't mean that you can't ever solve those problems if you never worked on it. And I think we're all, like, hard workers, right? Like, for our jobs, we might go see a business coach, right? We might, like I said, see a trainer. You might get, why not for your relationship learn how to communicate better if you really love your partner and go before it gets bad?
Which is most of your life with your partner when you've been together. Right. So why wouldn't you want help?
Exactly.
Working on that.
I think people don't get therapy. I think people who've never been have fear around it. And I think that a lot of us feel that we are unlovable, unworthy. We feel like a therapist is going to call us out on all of our bad things that we're hiding from the world, because I think we all think in some ways we're really flawed. And I don't know. I just think we expect the worst. And I think that, or maybe someone told you something bad about it once. It just takes a few negative messages around something. But all I can tell you is that you have to find a good therapist. Like, there is some work in that, finding someone who you actually both connect with. But most of the time, it's going to help you really fast track whatever your problems are and figure out how to resolve them. Or maybe you find out that you can't. But how great to find out that you're actually not going to be able to make it work and that you leave the relationship having done it in a way that's healthy with a therapist, with a mediator, essentially. So that's why I think it's really helpful. But also, you guys, I also don't think it's ever too soon. Like I said, like, I think if it's...
I was just going to ask you, like, what if you're, like, 3 months in?
I know people have done 3 months in.
That's awesome.
Who are super therapy, like, they're, like, into it. Yeah. What? It's like going to a play one night or going to dinner. Like, go to therapy and figure out 3 months in, like, we really like each other right now. I mean, think of how much time you save. So, like, that's how true. About... Yeah, I mean, like... I don't think it's ever too soon. I really don't. I feel like, I think if anything, it's just really smart and really efficient. Like if you're someone who's really into business and being efficient and all the like, you know, everything right now, it's like 4-hour work week and be a good person and be work hard or not smarter and all that, or work smarter, not harder. Mm-hmm. Like why not do that in your relationship? But why keep coming home with the same friggin' issues? So,
well, do you think it's because people feel like if they need outside help, they've failed in some way?
Yeah. Like, just like with sex. They feel like if sex goes bad, which it's going to, eventually you're going to have a problem in your sex life. I promise that they failed. If the relationship goes bad, we should always be able to talk it out and figure it out. But I'm going to guess that you, when you were all falling in love and everything was amazing, you probably weren't really learning how to communicate about things. Most of us are not great communicators. I would say most of what this show is about is teaching you all how to be better communicators. I always thought I was a great communicator, but I was just a really good talker. I was really good at like talking to anybody and I was really social, but I was not a great communicator. And I'm still not perfect, but you know, I'm learning all the time. It is a friggin' skill and it is such a valuable skill. And most of what communicating in a healthy way looks like is being vulnerable in a relationship and being like, I'm having a really hard time right now. I really you know, love being with you, but sometimes I feel insecure, or I feel nervous, or there's this thing about myself that I think is not lovable. When you say the things you think you cannot say in a relationship, that's part of communication, but also learning how to talk to your partner in a way that's not going to upset, not putting them on the defensive. Like most of the ways we communicate, mm-hmm. when people are probably listening right now, and you can call us if you, with anything, you're probably saying, I've told them a million times that I want my partner to initiate sex more, to take me out to dinner more. I've told them that they need to help more around the house or be a better parent. Or yeah, you've told them and you put them on the defensive. Remember when you start a conversation with, you never do this, or you're often mm-hmm. doing this, or why do you? No one hears what you're saying. But when you start with feeling words, like, I feel when I've asked you these things, it doesn't happen. It makes me feel like you don't see me, or that my needs are not important to you, or it makes me feel not loved. I mean, you have to keep it in your court how things make you feel. And then the reason why we also don't do that is because a lot of us don't know how we feel. Therapy helps you with that.
I feel like it would be really hard to get defensive when someone says that, because how can you get defensive about someone being like, well, it makes me feel like this?
You can't argue with feelings.
I would automatically just be like, oh crap, I'm so sorry. Right. I didn't know.
And you could also, right, exactly. Or, but if you're with the, maybe you would be like, well, tell me more about that. Or, yeah. Or the best thing, like using imago. Imago therapy is, okay.
So what's imago?
Imago therapy is that therapy that we talk about where you repeat back to your partner what you heard them say.
Oh,
so it's like,
okay.
So if I said to you, Jamie, we were in a relationship, which we really are.
We kind of are.
And I say, it really makes me feel, I put all this effort today getting dressed up. We had a date and I wore this nice outfit. When I came in and I made this effort and I feel like I look really pretty, it would be so nice to have you tell me that you feel like I look good tonight and give me a compliment. It makes me feel like you actually aren't attracted to me. And then what you would do in the imago therapy, you'd repeat back to me and you'd say, so what I'm hearing is you feel not pretty when I, not loved when I don't give you compliments.
Mm.
And then I would be like, well, no, it's more like I feel that I made an effort and you never recognize whatever. And then you'd be like, okay, so what you're saying, okay, yeah, that's it.
So it's like, because I would then be like, oh, so something that I had mentioned to you, you tried on and then I didn't give you proper reinforcement.
Right.
Oh, and then we just made a breakthrough.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, that already felt good, even though it was a fictional situation.
It's a fictional situation, but I tried to make it, yeah. And you're like, oh. And then the other part of it is just kind of like saying, is repeating it, and then you don't ever want to say, I'm sorry. You want to be like, I understand that that would be painful for you to be in, and I'm going to do my best to, and then you want to have a conclusion. I'm going to try my best to really recognize when you've made an effort in the relationship, and I don't want you to feel not loved because I really love you.
Okay, so it's kind of like you say something, mm-hmm. and then when you repeat it back to your partner, you're repeating it back in essentially the way that your brain figured it out,
right.
Like took it in. It's almost as if you guys are speaking two different languages.
Exactly.
But then you hear how it sounded to them and you can see like, okay, this is where I need to change what I need to say.
Exactly. Because a lot of times we say these things to our partners and we don't, we don't hear what our partner says. So my point of it, of getting into imago, we can get into it more, is that repeating back what your partner says is such a way to feel love, is to feel heard, because a lot of times we also go into fix it mode. Okay, we
go
into like, let me, I do it too.
I do that all the time.
I'm realizing I do it all the time in Joe. I do it with my niece, who's not asking me for help sometimes. She's living with me, and I'm like, I want to fix everything, right? But even in relationships, we don't want you to fix, and typically that's more of a masculine trait. When women are in their masculine, or whoever you are,
mm-hmm.
to fix. But sometimes we just want to be heard. So to say, what I hear you're saying is, wow, okay, so what you're saying is, I hear you and I see you. And then it also, the reason why this is so great is because it makes us feel heard, but also we might not have heard the right thing. So to say it back allows me to be like, correct you, and to make sure that we're on the same page. And then how can you forget that conversation? Rather than like, you never do this and you never do that, and you say that 10 times over the last month or 6 months, and then you're like, my partner doesn't listen to me. Because they can't hear you when you're not speaking in a way that's effective communication.
I like that because it's like slowing everything down. Because I feel like a lot of people talk over each other. They like don't even wait for the last words to come out. And so that's why they're getting...
Right.
That used to happen to me with like my ex. I'd be like, if you let me finish, you would see the point I'm actually trying to make. And exactly. They would be like, okay, fine. And then when I said it, they're like, oh. I'm like, yeah, it's not even that big of a deal. Just let me finish what I'm saying.
I think a lot of us just want to be heard. Exactly.
We're all crying out for attention.
We are. We really are. We just want to feel seen and heard. And like, really, it's just like, oh, God, that sounds really tough. Or you can't say, I'm sorry you're feeling that way. You're just the mago. There's some technical things. Like if you've done something wrong, don't say I'm sorry right away. But as long as you just get, if you just get anything out of this, like slow everything down and actually listen to what your partner's saying. Because remember this, you guys, you could be, what's the saying? You could be right or you could be happy.
Well, because so many people are concerned with being right that they don't realize, I think, is like you always say, you're like, you're on a team. You're not against each other.
Yeah, you're on the same team. So if you guys are on a team and you got married and you're together, you're in a long-term relationship, you both want to be happy. You don't want to be fighting all the time. Jerry doesn't want to be resenting his wife of 11 years for all these things. He can get out of this, perhaps, if it hasn't gone too far. But you got to listen. There's some therapy stuff, you guys. That's why I think therapy's important. Did we get to all that? We did. The real purpose. Do it, you guys. It'll help your relationship. And also, sometimes you just need a booster. You go for a while and you maybe do a little booster. You're like
a check-in.
We're going to go once a month. We're going to go once every 6 months. You keep going back. It's a trainer for your relationship. You all know how much I talk about meditation and breathing and being in the moment and how practicing mindfulness can help you have more fulfilling sex. Well, good news for you. I can now be your teacher for 5 minutes a day through the app Simple Habit. I now have a series all about sex, and each audio focuses on a different topic, and I give you an assignment to make sure you actually learn from the lesson, you know, to keep your sex life growing. This month, I'm covering the basics, including everything from communication to exploration, and I'll be adding new lessons each month. By the way, when you're done with my series, there's hundreds of free wellness lessons and thousands of premium ones on there. It's seriously impressive. So if you can't sleep, you can't focus, you want to relax, they have parenting, they even have therapy, you can sort by how many minutes you have for a lesson and the topic that you want to work on, and boom, you're going to be feeling mindful and relaxed. You're going to love it. And my listeners can now save 30% on a premium membership. All you got to do, go to sexwithemily.com/simplehabit. Once you download it, you can quickly find my series by searching SWE. Again, save 30% on a premium membership by going to sexwithemily.com/simplehabit, SIMPLEHABIT today. And then search SWE to find me there. Let me know how you like it. I love it. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to get into your calls. Ever meet someone who hasn't tried your favorite food or watched your favorite TV show, and then you get them to try it and their mind is blown? That happens to me all the time, but with lube. Specifically, lube during oral sex. It's one of my favorite tips, and I'm always amazed when I find someone who hasn't tried it. Either they don't think it's needed, or they're afraid of lube tasting bad. Well, thank goodness they're wrong. I mean, not only does lube make receiving oral sex feel incredible, but now it also tastes amazing. There's a brand new line of flavored lubes from our good friends at Joe. It's called Muse, and it's going to be that mind-blowing thing that will change your sex life forever. And if you haven't heard, my other favorite tip for giving oral is to be enthusiastic. Well, guess what? When your partner tastes like salted caramel, believe me, that enthusiasm gets real. Muse comes in three great flavors: mint chocolate, creme brulee, and yes, salted caramel. Each one is 100% edible, 100% sugar and paraben-free, and 100% game-changer. Oh, and they come in bottles with pump tops. It's like my dream come true. You gotta try Muse. We're all obsessed with it over here. To get some for yourself, go to sexwithemily.com/muse. That's my site, sexwithemily.com/muse. I am so excited to let you know you can now hear Sex with Emily live 5 days a week on Sirius XM Radio. You'll find me in Stars Channel 109, Monday through Friday at 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern. But don't worry, the podcast is staying right here. My brand new radio show will have everything you love about Sex with Emily and more, because every day I'll be interviewing guests, sharing the latest news, and my favorite part, taking your calls live on the air 2 hours every weekday. If you're a SiriusXM subscriber, you already know how great it is. If you never tried it, get a free trial for 30 days. Just go to sexwithemily.com/SXM. That's sexwithemily.com/SXM today to try SiriusXM for yourself. See you there.
All right, we have an Instagram question from a woman who's 24. She wants to know, how can I have more intimate sex with a casual partner?
More intimate sex with a casual partner. Mm-hmm. So I think we all define intimacy in different ways. And so I believe that casual sex doesn't have to be something where you're playing the cool girl and you're totally aloof. I think that this is a great time for women to realize it's not just about your partner's pleasure, but it's also by your own. So if there's something that you want, even during a casual encounter, however you define it, maybe you want more eye gazing, you want it to be a little bit slower, I say you just tell the person and you ask them, or you show them what you actually want in bed. Now, I know that casual relationships are not for everybody, and it can actually take a little bit of work, but you have to be a really good communicator and know that, like, it's okay if it doesn't work. Like, people often ask me, like, Emily, I want to have a one-night stand, or I've had some, but they really freak me out. I feel really bad when the person doesn't call, and every time it happens, it might not be for you. But for other people, I feel like for women especially, we have heard this a lot, and I know this to be true, actually, that there's science behind me, that when women have casual sex, they typically aren't having the most pleasure they can have, measured by having orgasms, by being more comfortable, because what we require often is safety and feeling like we actually really know someone and they care for us. Now, that doesn't mean that in a casual encounter you can't have that, but it definitely take some learning on your own of what feels good to you, what you actually would like to happen during sex, and then being able to communicate that to a partner, whether it's a one-off partner or a partner for life.
Do you feel like people in casual relationships don't often confirm what that means?
What casual means?
Yeah, I feel like people just assume there's like this, like casual is the same for everyone.
Yeah, casual sex can be defined in so many ways, like friends with benefits, a one-night stand. It could be, you know, your ex, sleeping with your ex. It could be, you know, an affair, sleeping with your boss. Like, casual sex is a huge umbrella term.
Yeah, but I mean, like, so how can you get on the same page? Like, what?
Talk about it. Listen.
I feel like it would scare people off.
But so what? See, listen, this is what you got when you are all to understand. Is that the sooner you define, you have a conversation with someone, you DTR, which used to mean like, if I define the relationship, then I'm needy, and then they're not going to like me anymore, so I'm just going to have a bunch of casual sex for the next 6 months, 3 years, whatever it is, and waste a lot of time not asking for what I want. But I think it's actually really empowering and like redefining what it means to be, you know, the cool person. Like, we had a bunch of women calling, like, oh, I'm trying to be the cool girl. Well, how about just saying, you know what? This is what I'm looking for. I'm looking for something casual. How I define that is, it would feel really good to me if we could see each other once a week and have a sleepover on Saturday nights, and we know that that's what we're going to do. And throughout the week, I'm not a great texter. Like, define it. I'm not a great texter, so I probably won't text you every day. And then the other person has a chance to say, well, I actually need a text every day. Okay, so then we can compromise on that. But really, I want you to know that I'm seeing other people. I mean, whatever it is that you're looking for, the sooner that we feel comfortable defining what we want in the relationship and that we want in bed, the more quality relationships we're going to have that are more, you know, that are going to feel more genuine to what we want, and the more pleasurable sex we're going to have. But I think a lot of us are like, casual sex is really fun. We get really drunk and we just hang out and it's great. But I just think that we don't actually take risks. We don't think that we can actually make efforts in those relationships. But I think if you can define them, they could actually be a great, especially if you don't have the emotions involved. You're like, this isn't for my forever person. This is my 3 month person. It still doesn't mean you should suffer waiting for them to figure out your body. Like, tell them right away what you want. I think that is empowering, and that is hot. And that's confidence.
It is hot. It is empowering. I mean, I don't know. Casual sex is so funny because I feel like I'm a dick sometimes in my casual sex relationships, because I'm just like, I just do. I'm like very like, know this, touch me this way. And sometimes I try to say it sexy, but I think sometimes it comes out like an order.
Right. So good to know that about yourself. Well, you guys, listen, timing also is everything. And this is what I tell you, even in long-term relationships, Just because you guys are listening to the show and you get really excited to have the sex talk tonight with your partner of 20 years, when you go home, it's not like, okay, I've been listening to Sex with Emily, I ordered all this bondage gear, and I got toys, and all these things, and I want to spank you, and stick this thing in my butt. Like, no, it's like, slow it down. So even if it's casual, Jamie, and you're out with a guy like that guy you went out with once, and you were like practicing, and you were really excited, she's like, this is what I need, and this is what I want. What did you say to him again? You're like, I need to be on top, and I need to...
Dominated.
I don't remember.
I don't know. Okay. I do remember. I said, because I am very dominant in the bedroom, but I would like to be submissive. However, I'm also very impatient. So if someone's not getting it, I'm like, roll over. Like, I'm going to do this thing. But I told the guy, I was like, what do you like? He told me, not very much, but he told me. He's like, what do you like? And I was like, I was like, I want someone to dominate me. I want them to put me in my place. Like, take charge, throw me down on the bed, and then be about my pleasure, but like make me do things, you know, that kind of stuff. And then when we went back to my apartment to have sex, none of that happened.
Right.
Like, I was on the bottom and still doing all of the moving. And I was like, how is this even possible?
Right. Well, because here's the thing. We are in a sex bubble here at Sex with Emily. So a guy's 25 years old.
Yeah.
And you're saying to him, I want to be submissive and do all these things. He had no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, I think it freaked him out.
So it's more like when he said to you, what do you want? You could say, well, you know, there's a lot of things I want. You know what I find interesting? Do you know about like dominance and submission? And he might be like, no, what does that mean? Well, and you might have to like meet people where they're at.
That's true.
We forget, Jamie and I forget that people don't like, they're not where we are every day. So I think it's also, that's what I'm saying. You meet them where you like ask questions, because even when we have partners call in, like, I want to be pegged. I'm like, you haven't talked to your partner about this ever. Find out what they're into. Tell them a little bit. Then you got to build up to these conversations.
That's why I only went out with him twice.
Okay, question. If a woman, just like opinion, I guess, is what I am asking for. If a woman knows so much about her own pleasure, do you think that can come off as intimidating to other partners?
I think it can become. That's why we just, you guys, I don't think that we need to spoon feed it, but I also think that if you're with a partner who is been living on this planet for so long, and you guys can call us with anything, 888-947-8277, that there could be certain ego, like if he's with a man,
right?
There could be some ego bruising, like, I know exactly what I want, and this is what I want you to do. Then all of a sudden, you know, a lot of people feel insecure already when they're having sex. So it's all about toning and timing.
Because I'm thinking in Jamie's case, like, she knew exactly what she wanted, and she's like, gave it all to him, and then she's like, what do you like? And he's like, oh shit.
Well, I think she had him go first.
I had him go first. I always have them go first because I know they're going to say, I don't know, whatever you like.
Right. Or hot. What do you mean, Coyote?
Oh, I mean, it can be really hot if someone knows what they want.
Yeah.
And they can show you and tell you.
Exactly.
So you can please them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it can be hot, but I was the first thinking about how intimidating it can be.
Yeah.
But then if you're like, if rather than just like stating it, it's really, I think, for a confident man that you'd want to be with, he would think it was really, for many men, they're like, thank God you know what you want. That is, a woman who knows what she wants is sexy, because it's, they're trying to figure it out and wailing around, and a lot of women don't know. So, it can be really hot to show them. But I think it's more of like a letting them know that this is what I want, and I'm also going to not expect you just to do it, but I'm going to show you.
Yeah. And we're patient. We can be patient, help you, guide you.
Yeah. But no, I think if a guy's, if you scare someone away, they're not your person.
Oh, true. That's so true.
You just keep looking. You want the one who's like, hell yes, I'm
down.
Yeah. That, I mean, I find that the more, we all say that confidence is, many of us, confidence is the sexiest thing in the bedroom. So you want to meet that match. Who's like, oh yeah, girl, bring it.
Oh, nice.
That guy circled back like 3 months later too. And I was just like, no, bro, I'm not going down that road.
He's
again.
Like, what was I thinking? He's been like knee deep, like watching Fifty Shades.
Well, because I was totally like, because I could tell he was in his head too. And then I was like, dude, we could take a break. Like, I'm really chill. I'm like, I'll get some water. I'll get us some chips. You know,
take a snack break.
And then he left feeling all weird. And then it was like right before I went to New York for Valentine's Day. And then when I came back, and then like 3 months later, he's like, hey, do you want to hang out again? And I was like, not really.
Dude, that ship has sailed.
Yeah, he had his chance.
Yeah.
So. I don't know. But I mean, it's interesting because sometimes for me at least, like, I can explain what I like in the bedroom, but I also don't necessarily always want to have like blueprint sex.
Yeah.
Like, I have to like map it out like so much because sometimes it is really technical. And I don't know how to make that more flowy.
Well, I feel like it's telling stories around it. It's showing what you want. If there's like a scene in like porn that you like, that Erica Lust might have done something with it, or you might have them read something on the website. People learn differently. People learn by listening, by watching, by hearing, and like giving them more information, I think is the best thing. Like, check out this scene. I think this would be really hot, right? Because most people will not have any idea what you're talking about. Think about the world we live in.
Ooh, I was just thinking about your book. Like, your book, Hot Sex, was actually one of the first times like I saw something and learned and was like, okay, this is something that I could, that I already know that I like, but I could show somebody instead of just like telling them.
Yeah, exactly. Like, here's a roadmap. Here's what it looks like. Here's where my leg goes, and here's where your foot goes, and this is what's going to happen. I think that people are open to that. And I think also it's just a matter of, it's a tone, not saying, like, having these expectations. Like, I can't believe you didn't know this already. It's like, here's what would be interesting to me. What do you think? But I think it's that we're not used to talking about sex. So many of us have no experience. No one taught us anything. We've never had a partner who shared anything. So you have to just remember that you have to like do it in the tone that's accepting and warm and being open to what they want, rather than just being like, I need this or you're out. That doesn't always work either.
It doesn't.
No way. That does not communicate well.
But no, that was what you were saying. I can just send guys blogs on the site. I don't know why I haven't done that.
I did that. I used to do that. I'm like, read this. It's what that's check out this oral sex thing. We're going to do this tonight. Read up.
Yes, this came to us from a Sean. He's 48 in Louisiana. Writes, hi, Emily. I have a dilemma regarding online dating / introduction. I met someone on a dating site. We exchanged numbers after a few messages. Initial conversations have been great, but we have not actually met yet. She shared a photo of herself in a sexy thong and bra. I was shocked she sent a picture of that nature so soon, so initially I really didn't say anything other than, nice pic. After a few more conversations, I made a comment about the picture and what I could picture myself doing to her. Very sexual comment, I will admit. And she was extremely offended. She says that there is more to her than sex. How could I come at her like that so soon? I am completely confused.
Yes. We get this because it is, first of all, I get this is confusing. It's all about timing. Like, here's the thing. I understand why dating right now is very confusing. Like, she sends me a picture.
Exactly.
You get a sexy thong and it's bra. And she, of course, she is sending that photo. She's saying, look at me. We haven't met yet. This conversation is going well. I'm choosing to send you a sexy photo. And then we walk this through. We're trying to figure out the scenario here. We're talking about it through the show. And it's like, okay, so then what happens? He could at that moment reply back and just say like, which he did. He said, nice pic.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a good thing. Nice pic.
Yeah, fine.
Then they continue to talk and just chat on the phone. And then boom, out of nowhere, after he sends a picture 3 days ago, he's like, I can't wait to, you know, do this thing. What I want to like, who know? We don't know what he said.
Yeah. But even if he's admitting himself that it was very sexual, then it was probably pretty graphic.
Like, I can't wait. Exactly. And so here's the thing. Here's what I think. Because she's sending you a picture does not necessarily mean that she wants you to respond back with what you want to do to her body, even though you're thinking that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something that a lot of men go to, being the way they're thinking about things. They're like, oh, if she sent that, I understand that's suggestive. But here's the thing. And this is how I feel, and I think you might agree with this. If I have not met you in person, you've never actually had your hands on my body or seen my body, I need some foreplay with words. I need some warm up. It feels kind of aggressive and a little bit violating.
Yeah.
If he was like, well, I can't wait, but I want to slap that ass and lick that, whatever they would say, it would feel to me like it's too much. But then to say it 3 days later out of nowhere.
Well, that is really the thing that caught my eye with this as well. Because yes, she sent a picture. Obviously, she knew she looked good. That's why she sent it. And he says, nice pic. I mean, I'm not saying he should have gotten super sexual right after that picture, but he could have said, I guess, maybe something a little bit more. But then to randomly just bring that up out of the blue a few conversations later is just very, like, wrong time.
Wrong timing. Wrong timing. And also, though, that is the wrong timing, but what if he said it initially and said that, too? I don't know how it would feel if he said it right away, either. I don't know that I would ever want him to even right away talk about my body personally, even though I sent it, like, I can't wait to tap that or something.
Yeah. No, I think that. But, I mean, so how... Because I don't think he obviously didn't realize that he was doing something wrong here in situation.
So he was doing zero things wrong. So here's what you got to do, you guys. Yeah. Is that I think just like foreplay, just like sex, you got to go slow. Like you got to have the build up. You got to always just like dirty talk. You don't want to start being like, this is what I'm going to pound you. I'm going to do all these things to you right away when you don't know the person. So you want to start with like, you look great. And then you want to build it and see if they're open to things. So here's what you do. I've been thinking about you in that bathing suit. I can't stop thinking about you. And then she says, yeah, what have you been thinking? To me, that's a clue. Well, I've been thinking about how your body would feel. Like, you got to build up. But just to go too dirty too fast is, it's like you, and I think this is a great lesson for sex, that we often go, we go into sex too fast. We start pounding away too fast. We don't warm people up. So, but there's no way that anyone knows the answers to this. This happens all the time. This happens on dating apps. You send a first message, you chat for a few minutes and like, send me a naked photo, or you look really hot, or what I can't wait to do to you. Now, some people might be encouraging that or might want it, but I feel like I understand why in this case, for everybody, the best lesson is to just go slow and get to know someone, because I also think, I get that you want to do that, but I feel as a woman, it feels like a violation. You don't even know who I am.
Yeah,
you haven't seen me yet. How do you know that?
And the initial sending of the picture, whilst obviously confusing, doesn't necessarily mean like, yeah, I'm for sure going to have sex with you because you haven't met yet. But in your opinion, Emily, like how could this person, let's just call her Jessica. I don't know what her name is, but let's call her Jessica. Like, how could she have maybe also handled this situation in the sense of like,
well, I'm not saying she's exactly
sharing the photo first, because that is a confusing message.
Confusing message. I think, okay, here's my opinion. I personally don't send photos. I don't send naked photos. I don't send even partially nude photos. I feel like getting sexual with someone, even mention it with someone you've never met in person, and sending the photos, maybe he asked for it, who knows what happened, but I feel like it's better just to take your time and meet someone in person. And if you are texting back and forth and back and forth for days, and they're talking for days, this is the problem, that you can't help but in your mind create some scenario of who this person is and this sort of false sense of closeness with someone. So I think before you even get to the point of sending pictures and getting sexual, meet the person first. I don't even think that any of this should be happening over text before you meet someone in person, or you talk to them, at least you FaceTime with them. This is a waste of time.
Completely.
You never get that time back that you spend building it up, and then you kill it with a dick pic prematurely. Like, we're all wasting time and we're not really getting to know anyone. So I think it should even escalate to that point.
No, it should. And I mean, to me, the really most interesting part is that like this is like, you would hear the situation and assume if there was no ages, they were like in their 20s. He's 48.
Exactly. The stepping at all ages. It's just, I think that it's a matter of, I would love to hear from women if I'm wrong. I want to hear from anyone, men, women, whoever's listening, 888-947-8277. I'm curious. I'm just speaking from like women I mostly know. I feel like in most cases it's better even if I do send a sexy pic, which I support women doing whatever they want to do, I don't think I'd want to hear back right away what someone wants to do to me sexually.
I would agree. Yeah, and I've only done that with boyfriends.
Right. So if you've never met them in person, it feels violating to me. All right, guys, we're going to take a call.
Yes, we have Patty, 21 in California, who wants to know, why would she be sending a picture of herself and then get mad about the comment?
Exactly. That's what we're getting to. Patty, there's so much to unpack here. Hey, Patty, thanks for calling.
Hey, guys, I'm actually
41. Oh, 41. Okay, got it. Exactly. No, Patty, I get it. You're right. There was a lot here. I was like, I had so many things to say about this. You're absolutely right. Why would she? She sends it and then...
Why? Like, she's asking for it. She's asking for him to make comments like that. Why would she even send a picture like that to him, you know, without even knowing him, meeting him in purpose or anything? Like, I wouldn't do that. You know, she's asking for it.
Right.
You know?
So I'm not going to
defend her.
Right. No, I understand. It's confusing. So what are the rules then? That's what we're saying. Like... I feel like there are some women who are like, no, I'm just sending it, but this guy should know. He should know he shouldn't have gotten too sexy too fast for her. So what could she, what to do?
If she wants to be respected, she should respect herself first. You know,
Have you ever sent a photo, Patty? Have you ever sent a photo of yourself?
Oh, of course, to my husband and, like Jamie said, to a boyfriend.
Right.
But that's because they already have history.
It's the history. Know. That's exactly it.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm not going to be offended if he says, oh, yeah, you know, I want to do this to you because I'm sending him that picture because I want to know what he will do to me.
Exactly. Like, you're like, that's why I'm sending it. Hello. Like, I'm trying to elicit that conversation. She didn't have the history with him yet. I get it. Thanks, exactly. Patty. You're right. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank
Bye.
You. Bye.
Yeah, I mean, so this is I think like the weird line here because it's so delicate because it's like, yeah, she sent the picture, so obviously, like in my mind too, if I sent a picture like that, I would expect certain things back, but it really does depend. How sexual did he get? Maybe it was just really graphic and she was like, whoa, bro.
But maybe it was the wrong word. Maybe it was the wrong language because his last girlfriend liked when he said, like, I'm going to
exactly.
Like, do you know, your pussy or something, and she's like, oh, I never used that word. I mean, we don't know what range, but that's why you gotta, just like dirty talk, you gotta try it out first. You gotta like test the waters.
Yeah, and I think her response too, the saying like, how could you come at me like that? I'm more than just sex, is kind of weird.
Well,
like,
that is weird too. I think that is weird because she did send him a picture in a thong. But I think that it's very confusing because maybe that's just how she's separating that from sex. She says, I'm trying to show you who I am, but the fact that you still, it's very confusing messages women have. We want to be desired so intensely that our biggest, for so many women, our fantasy is to be dominated. So a man's overtaken with his lust for us and he can't help it, like throw us down on the bed because he wants us. But yet we want to be looked at for more than sex, which is very confusing messages. I understand, which is why we're trying to unpack this every single night.
Mm-hmm. And we have a Christine, 30 in New York, who says she's a feminist, but she thinks this woman is overreacting.
Hey, Christine.
Hi, and I don't even agree with some of your reaction to this.
Okay.
You know, because we talk about, you know, consent. You know, consent's so important. Well, she didn't get consent that it was okay for him to risk. Like, we assume that men want to see some risque photo of us necessarily.
Right.
And yeah, usually they do. But I'm just saying that it goes both ways. Like,
oh, absolutely.
Expecting the most, it's kind of, it's nuts. First of all, I personally, I'm not into sending naked photos of myself to strangers, but
same.
If some people are into that, that's cool. But for you to send, or you know, barely dressed, whatever kind of photo, to me it sounds like you've got some insecure, maybe I understand that's the norm. That's the norm these days, maybe, and it's kind of, honestly sad. I think if you meet someone, you like them, and you're into them, send whatever, but like if you're sending to a stranger who you've never met, you're gonna get pissed and dictate what kind of response you get.
Right, exactly.
That's messing with it, guys. That is, I mean, it's just, but like again, the consent.
Exactly. And we don't know. No, you're totally right. It's like, and we don't know that he might have said to her, send me a picture. We don't know that he didn't ask her to send a picture. He said she shared a picture of herself. But still, I think it should be consensual. I'm saying that women, at least I never am just sitting around waiting for some guy to send me a dick pic. Like, oh, you know, it's 3:00 on a Tuesday. Gotta be nice to get a dick pic right now. You know, I think that we do want consent. I think it's shocking. And I think it goes both ways. You know, we want to say, like, do you want this? Ask for it. And then I also think, yeah, if you don't know someone that well, I want people to understand that whoever receives that photo, I've been with so many men, guy friends, and they're like, look what I just got, and they show me the picture. Somebody will see that photo of you, and you don't even know this person. So yeah, I got it.
I'm saying the norm these days for young females is just like, you know, I understand it's about empowering, feeling good about your body, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to put images out into the atmosphere.
Yeah.
And I've had guys send me dick pics. Who hasn't? I've had guys send me just a picture in bed.
But did you want it before you were with the dick?
No.
Anyway, we don't want it. I get it. All right. Thanks, Christine. We got to wrap. I so appreciate it. Thank you. Okay, everyone. Thank you for listening, supporting the show, sharing it with a friend. Come on, don't you think your friend wants to hear all the stuff you just learned? Share it with them. Review our show wherever you listen. We so appreciate that. And thanks to my amazing team, Ken, Kristen, Michelle, Elisa, producer Jamie, and Michael. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com. Guys, what if I told you that you're not tapping into all the sexual pleasure your body has to offer? I know you think you're the master of your domain, but some of you have yet to experience a P-spot orgasm. Yes, I'm talking about your prostate, and if you haven't tried stimulating it, hear me out. Okay, if I told you there was a bag full of money through a door that you normally only exit out of, you'd march right through. This is the same concept. Lucky for you, my friends at WeVibe have just the thing to help you find your new favorite sensation. It's a prostate massager called Vector. Vector is one of the most innovative prostate stimulators out there. It even has two stimulators, one for your prostate and one that presses against your perineum, or, you know, the taint. Oh, you know what else is cool? You can control it with the WeConnect mobile app. And if you're worried about comfort, no need. The prostate stimulator is adjustable, so you can easily find the perfect angle. You've heard me talk about WeVibe products for years, so you know all about their quality. So now it's your turn to own one designed just for you. To try Vector for yourself, go to sexwithemily.com/WeVibe. That's my site, sexwithemily.com/WEVIBE today.